welcome to Reformation Platform Media. And now, we present to you God's Word, which is able to save your soul. Please, listen with your heart as the servant of God brings us the Word of Life.
Bind my wandering heart to you. In the name of Jesus. Bind my heart to you. Bind me to you. My heart is prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. It's prone to leave the God whom I love. Let your goodness, like a fetter, let it bind my heart to you. Let nothing be able to separate me from your love, O Lord my God. My heart, take Lord and seal it for your courts above. Let me not be here, Take my heart, Lord, take and seal it, bind it for your courts above. Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place he will afterward inherit. Bible says he went, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Why did he do that? For he was looking for a city that had foundation, whose maker and builder is God. Even though he was a billionaire, he didn't see it. He kept looking for that continuing city. Bind my heart to you, Lord. Bind my heart to you. Let it become a reality in my life that this world is not my own. Let me not seek it. Let me not pursue it. Let me not desire to be in it a second longer than my assignment requires. Bind my heart to you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, you are the one I want to serve. Help my heart in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Lord, do to us as we have said in your hearing, in Jesus' name. Our hearts are prone to wander. Satan, that great enemy of the saints, knowing that his time is short, Lord, is doing whatever he can do to make sure that we will not make it home. Lord, we pray. By your grace, by the intensity of your jealousy, be jealous over us in Jesus' name. You've purchased us, Lord, with so great a price, even the precious blood of Jesus. Let it not be in vain over it of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you because you are faithful. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Let us be seated. God bless you. We are still in the faith. I think we've done point one and point two, Abby. Number three, am I still laboring? And that's the word, laboring. Am I still laboring to become like Jesus? Am I still striving and laboring to become like Jesus? Striving and laboring is not the same thing. Okay? So please, I want you to include that. Am I still striving and laboring to become like Jesus in all things, at all times, and in every place? How do I test if I'm in the faith? Am I still striving to become like Jesus? In all things, at all times, and in every place. The Christian is predestined to become like Jesus. In Romans 8 and verse 29, the Bible says, those whom he foreknew, he also called. to be conformed to the image of his son, so that his son can be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. We were predestined to become like Jesus. Why is that important? Because some people might think that maybe the whole essence of becoming like Jesus is some people that are just trying to be more religious than other Christians. You understand? No, that's not it. There's an eternal purpose in the mind of God regarding it. And the whole Christian experience while you are here in this world is just simply two things. Number one is that you must strive to become like Jesus. Number two is that you must fulfill the reason for which you are sent. But funny enough, if you are not like Jesus, you are not qualified for ministry. Amen. Or you are not qualified, okay, for the purpose for which you are sent. For whatever you will do, if you are not like Jesus, it will not please God. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, the Bible says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." So if you are intending to please God in your life, who or what must you look like? You must look like Jesus. It is God that ordained it to be so. So, the Christian is expected to have his hands full. Why is he expected to have his hands full? Number one, as he's striving and laboring to become like Jesus, he's also striving and laboring to do what now? To fulfill the purpose for which he's sent into this world. So, if you're not striving to become like Jesus, if you're not laboring to become like him, you are sick spiritually. Amen. It's the simple truth. And you see, it doesn't matter if you're a bishop. It's just a simple truth. Now, when we say that become like Jesus in all things, what are we talking about? Ephesians 4:15. When we say you should become like Jesus in all things, when we say become like Jesus at all times, Romans 8:29. And in every place, 1 Peter 2:21. Let's look at Ephesians 4:15. To become like Jesus in everything.
Instead. We will lovingly follow the truth at all times.
We will lovingly follow the truth at all times.
Speaking truly.
Dealing truly.
Living truly. And so become more and more in every way like Christ.
Like Jesus Christ.
Who is the head of his body, the church.
Amen. In how many ways? Huh? What is excluded from every way? What is included in every way? So, if you are not like Jesus in the way you get angry, don't you still have work to do? You have work to do. And since your life is an entire life, you will constantly be laboring to become like him. You see, it's sad that when people get into the church and we just ask them to sit down and they just keep coming for services, they don't know what their lives are about. They just keep coming. So after a while, since they are bored, if we don't want to go the full length of apostasy by inviting comedians, you understand? If we don't want to go the full length, we then start telling them 5 Super Sundays. So 9 Sundays. Because you have to make it look attractive so that people can come. But if they've known that there's so much work for them to do, enough homework, enough projects, do you need to encourage anybody? You don't need to encourage anybody. No matter, in fact, they want to come because as they are now attempt to become like Jesus or fulfill their purpose, there'll be several questions. Okay? So they will keep coming because they need to keep being fed, okay? And they need their questions to be answered. So they'll keep coming. We must become like him in everything. When you have stopped trying to become like him, it's because you are spiritually sick. No, you see, I said when you have stopped, some of us have not even begun. Because we didn't know that that's what we expected to do. Because nobody told us. It's there, Romans 8:29. But why is it then that, okay, you have said that God wanted us to look like Jesus because he wants us to fulfill our purpose. Is that all? No, that's not all. There's an eternal purpose in the mind of God regarding becoming like who? Like Jesus. What is that eternal purpose? In the same Romans 8:29 there, he said, so that Jesus can be the firstborn, having many brothers and sisters. If we are from the same family, we ought to look alike. We ought to think alike. We ought to act alike. When he rose from the dead, and Mary Magdalene saw him and wanted to embrace him, he said, don't hold me, because I need to go to my father. But go, tell my brethren. That's the word he used. Tell my brothers that I go before you to Galilee. You will see me there. You know, I thought that he was talking about James, his brother, and the other biological brothers and all that, until they said, I go a fishing. That's Peter. And the other said, we also go with you. And while they are still struggling there, Jesus appeared to them on that lake. So I knew, okay, it was not biological brothers. He was talking about his spiritual brothers, children of the same father. He said, I'm going to my father and to your father, my God and to your God. But you say that Jesus is God. Yes, there's no confusion. How come you say my God? I can explain. Amen. You've forgotten that Jesus is both God and man. But originally, he was just God. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he could say my God, being a man. Amen. And yet, God can say about him, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool. Are you getting it now? We could say in prophecy, according to the word of God in Isaiah, that says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and it shall be called, what? Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So there's no confusion. Amen. Is there any confusion? Is there a confusion? Because God was going to become man, I mean the second person in the Godhead, God the Word, whom we call the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And because the purpose of God was to bring man back again into the family. Read for me Luke chapter 3, the last verse. Man was originally of God's family. That was lost to sin in Adam. And because God was going to restore that, man needed to be brought back, but the sacrifice is too heavy. A human being can't pay it. So God had to come in the form of man. Okay? I hope you know we have three persons in the Godhead. God the Father, God the Word, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? And it's not just a New Testament doctrine. It's there, Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to verse 3. In the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. That's God the Father. And the earth was without form. Form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was over the waters. That's the Holy Spirit. And God said, let there be light. God said, that's God the Word. God said, Jesus Christ. Simple. If anybody wants to argue anything, argue with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. That argument will be difficult, because that's like some of the oldest things ever written. Amen. So, he wanted to bring man back in. Are you there? Luke chapter 3, the last verse.
Canaan's father was Enos.
Yes.
Enos' father was Seth.
Yes.
Seth's father was Adam.
Yes.
Adam's father was God.
Amen. So originally, where we came from was from God. Okay? But because that was lost in Adam due to sin, God wanted that father-children relationship. He wants to restore it. So he sent Jesus. And that's why Jesus didn't bring a religion. I know men so uniform now and looks very funny and all, but it's okay if that's the way they chose. Okay? But that's not God's method. Religion is always man's way of trying to reach God. But Jesus is always God's way of trying to reach man. Relationship is what God is offering. It's not often a religion. If it's a family, is it a religious affair? It's not a relationship. It's a relationship. And I'd rather, I prefer that God is my father. Than that God is my master. I'm not saying it's not my master or you, so, but it's better if it's my father. Amen. So what then did he want to achieve? He wanted us to look like the family. The lifestyle of the family is just the exact life Jesus came to live. Okay? His principles, that is the lifestyle of God's kingdom. That is the code of conduct in God's family. Are we following? So, becoming like him and striving to become like him is your lifelong project. What is it? It's not the thing to say, well, you know, Reformation Platform, you know, their ministry is discipleship, but their ministry is becoming like Jesus. That's not our ministry. It's a Christian thing to become like Jesus. Bible says, him we preach, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Are you a Christian if you are not like Christ? Really? Because sometimes I'm confused. You know? Because we have succeeded in having Christianity without Christ. That's why we are able to do a manner of things. I mean, just imagine Apostle Paul in a meeting like this and there's a comedian on the stage. Can you see it? Can it happen? The comedian wants to die. But then, since we have been reduced to what we have been reduced to, they will even be using the pastor to joke. They will use his God to joke. The first laughter, or is it the first laugher, is the pastor himself. He's the first person laughing. You want to fall down. Cheer. When did we become so bold to be doing things Jesus did not do? Things his apostles did not dare. And we say the same God, the same heaven. We are going to be judged by the same standard. Are we sure? You have to strive. To struggle. You have to labor. You have to work to become like Jesus. Stop saying, you see, me, that's where I am. No, that's not recognizing God's kingdom. That's not the way you are. When you spoil it, when you spoil it because of sin, that's why you are like this. Do you understand? Now that you have been redeemed, what happens? So we want to rework you. So that's what God wants to do. He wants you to join hands with him so that you can become what you're supposed to become. We are expected to be consistently changing. Are you following me? And that's the reason why I must be the one to study my Bible for myself. We must be like him at all times. Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed. That is, to be converted from their old way of life and be formed into his image. So that Jesus Christ can be the firstborn, having many brothers and sisters. Imagine that you, since you took a medal in either malice or hypocrisy, you know, they gave you the Nigeria National Award for hypocrisy or for keeping malice. Then now, you want to be a brother of Jesus. So let's assume that we are now in the kingdom of God. Let's assume one way or the other you made it in. You know, I saw somebody that used to keep malice with when you're on earth. Will you still greet the person? Why? Because that's who you are. Won't you break heaven that way? A place that is made of love and forgiveness and everything is beautiful. They just imagine people say, since Jesus didn't keep malice, you know, why now was the Jesus will ask you, where did you learn it from? Even when you were my enemy, I was still talking to you. I was still telling you, repent. Are you getting it? No, we must be like him at all times. He says, be angry, but sin not. So what should you be angry about? The kind of things God and Jesus are angry about. Those are the only things you are permitted to be angry about. Any other type, you are in the flesh. Simple. You may say, why are you? But you see, that's the truth. No matter how much you want to fight, that is what? That's the whole truth. And the things God is angry about, they are righteous. Okay? And that's how he's able to be angry and he will not fall into the trap of what now? Sin. Do you understand?
rebuke, but saying, how? You only rebuke in things that God will rebuke in.
Simple.
This thing, God, see, Christianity is so simple. So that somebody will say, if not that this mountain, what eternity is in. It's not a mountain that you are climbing. It's very simple. You don't need a PhD to understand it. You know? So somebody wants everyone goes to study PhD theology. You don't need a PhD. The language is very clear. It's very simple. There are translations, if you say that King James is too hard, there are very simple translations that you can simply understand. And David rose up. What does it mean? David rose up. Simple. We must be like him at all times. Brethren, we must be like him in every place. In 1 Peter 2:21, the Bible says, for even hereunto were you called, as Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin. Neither was guile in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not back again. Who when he suffered, he didn't threaten. We must be like him in every place. Now, if this is what you want to do, obviously, will you be striving or not? Because you know that you will try, you will fail. Abi? Then, as you keep trying, now you get better and better and better at it. So now, let's say you have now become like Jesus in the way you handle matters. Does that then mean that you are now like Jesus in the way you pray? Or in the way you fast? No. So since it's an entire lifestyle, you understand? It takes a lifetime, okay, to walk in it. Amen. Number four. Is it number four now? Am I constantly yielding in obedience to the Holy Spirit? Am I constantly yielding in obedience to the Holy Spirit? As he works to produce his fruit in me, comma, as he conforms me to the image of Jesus, and as he rids me of corrupting and contaminating worldly influences. This is another aspect. Amen. This is another point of a way of testing whether you are in the faith. How dependent, no? Is that the word dependent? No. How yielded, okay, that's the word, are we to the Holy Spirit? Sometimes when you're angry and you just want to say some things, and you're saying, calm down, calm down. Sometimes it has to take the Holy Spirit and some angels to hold you. You don't know you are sick. Come, wait. When you now finish, suddenly inside you now feel ashamed. Feel really ashamed of yourself. Thank God. And I should not have talked like that. How long will somebody be like this? It is because you are not taking heed to check whether you are in the faith. Do you know that if you are capable of, I'm looking for that word. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. If you are capable of sustaining an argument, do you know you are in the flesh? If you are capable of sustaining an argument with somebody else, you see the word, I said what? To sustain. Because what is the whole principle of argument? I have a point, you have an opposing point, Abby, and I want to prove to you that you are wrong, but that I'm what to me, I'm correct. It's because you are in the flesh, honestly. And to be able to argue, it must be that you are not yielding to the Holy Spirit, for he wrestles in no man. What did I say? As early as Genesis chapter 6, God has said, my spirit will not strive with any man. Why? Because it's flesh. So, to be able to sustain an argument and no, that was not what happened. If you look at it, but you too, the Holy Spirit must flee from you spending the time. So that when you have calmed down, you're about to too, since you are very hot. He may then come and knock again. Is it safe to come in? Is it safe now? Have they gone? Am I constantly yielding in obedience to the Holy Spirit? Is my obedience quick? Or is it slow? Is my obedience, is it constant? Is my obedience full or is partial? They are all indicators to knowing whether or not one is still in the faith. Is my obedience complete? Is it constant? And is it what? Is it quick? There are things that you can easily use to know whether or not you are in the faith. Because see, like I said earlier, it's possible that somebody has gone out. And he's still singing, he has done for me, he has done for me. What my father cannot. You know, if rapture happens on Sunday, it will be very interesting. Oh, there are whole churches that the whole church will be present. Including the pastor. They will be absent before the Lord. Whole churches. Is it not those who are expecting Jesus that he's coming for? If not, will he say, watch and pray, since you don't know when I'm coming? Will he say watch? If he's saying watch, it's because you are supposed to do what? Watch, I remember some of our staff there. Maybe sometimes when they wake up and the children are not in the house, or they are not where they are sleeping, you just go around quietly to go and check. Hope it's not that Jesus has come and has taken everybody and have left in this place. Amen. Am I yielded to the Holy Spirit? Because he will work to produce his fruit in me. What is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Now, if he's going to produce all these things in me, will I go through their opposites or not? You don't understand my question. Do you understand my question? If he wants to produce love in you, how will he produce love? You just start hugging everybody. Is that how? So I just love you. I just love you. Oh, I love you. No. There will be matters that require hatred. Are you following? What will now happen? He will now tell you, no, God loves. What you're supposed to do is love. Even your enemies. I've had pastors say, God say, pray for enemy. He didn't say how to pray. It's not true. They are not reading their Bible. Jesus said, love your enemies. That's what he said. I know how this person has offended me. It will tell you love does not count, keep account of what? Wrongs. Love covers a multitude of sin. So even when people offend you, even when they do this and that to you, what do you owe them? Is that, oh no man, nothing. Except what? You owe me love. You are supposed to love me. It's a debt that you must keep paying for how long ago? Until the day you see Jesus, until the day I see Jesus, I must keep paying that price. Amen. If he wants to work humility in you, there will be matters that naturally, how will flesh respond? And pride. Me and share bear. Flesh is terrible. The Holy Spirit will now say, okay. You see, you are going to go and apologize. Amen. This sister here. You. Remember that day I met you at the bus stop and I was apologizing to you? Because some things happened and she was judged wrongly. But I was under somebody else and I just followed the instruction. But when I discovered that it was wrong, somebody else asked me, but why do you want to go and apologize? I said, I want to make heaven. Amen. That's why. Since you don't apologize, there's no problem. Me, I want to make it home. It will be better to apologize than say, oh, and I should have begged. Yeah. Oh, you know it will be better.
It's better than to burn.
When God wants to teach you patience, things that you normally respond to in impatience, they will happen.
Somebody wants to, maybe you say, wait, sir. You'll be like revving like a car. You're not speed car now.
He will say, I say, wait.
Ah, oh Lord. Ah, if not for you, say, it's for me.
Wait.
Ah, the Holy Spirit is sweet. I'm telling you.
You could even be a married person. I always say it. If you do not have fruit of the Holy Spirit, Brother Shegun, can somebody have a happy home? Is it the sister I'm talking about now or the brother? Eh? It's both of them actually. Okay? But more lies on the brother. Because women will be women. But God will not listen to you that women will be women. How can you talk to me like that? Did you see the way I just swore? Is it, what is the plural of, is it opposite of, it's opposite. Past tense of swear. Swear, not nearly. Swore. Mm-hmm. You see, do I just, I've just said like this, and just, suddenly I just grew small now. Things will happen. Am I constantly yielding in obedience to the Holy Spirit? I don't know what's wrong with that girl. She doesn't greet anybody. And I've told myself, I will not want small, stupid girl disrespect me. But Leo, they will disrespect you. They spat at Jesus. They are not even just spitting at you. They are just disrespecting you. You want to die. Is it that you have a long journey to go? You have a long journey to go. Then you come, you are waiting for who will greet who first. How do you live with yourself like that? No, if the Holy Spirit is going to produce His fruit in you, all those 9 things will be tested on them, one by one. In different areas. It could test you on patience like 10 or 15 times. Different, things that your own, you could be very patient to accept that you are not patient when you want to enter bus. So you would have thought, the Lord, on this issue of, the Lord is just helping me, because it's not true. But when it comes to bus, entering bus, even with your Bible, you can rush the bus. Because you just hate cheating. You just hate cheating. So a time will now come. That's the only trial. Or is it testing? That keep coming. You just see that you just keep rushing the bus. Until you learn it. And if you're not ready to learn it, you'll be told, man, we're not here. The other day, we'll do coin for the next 10 years. Because God does not promote without merit. He doesn't. You have to pass your test. Amen. So it will test you on humility. It will test you on patience. It will test you on faithfulness. Some of us that are here, that are into business and all that, that your word is now, is worth less than toilet paper. You know tissue paper has more value than your word. Nobody believes you again. Hello. I'll come by talk. I said I'll come. And that word is not enough to bind you. When God honors His word above all His name, you will keep saying that you keep falling down on that same one point until you learn that you are supposed to honor your own words because you are a spirit. And being a child of God, when you speak, a lot of things go into motion to make sure that what you have said comes to pass. When everything has not gone to motion, all of heaven is mobilized. Pow, pow, beep, beep, beep. Then the person that spoke, after a while, all those angels will take you serious. Because they don't know whether you are serious or not. When you speak, they're like, you know the way a guy normally behaves. You know? Let's wait whether a guy is serious. Then, five brigades approach that.
How do you snap is what is called in English. Now start snapping at everybody. Go. Even your angels will be. God has started again. No, when you honor your words, things happen. Amen. Because by your words you are justified, by your words you are condemned. Life and death, they are in the power of what? The tongue. So when you say, I'm going to do this thing, then you go ahead and do it. Or you do everything possible. Now, if you have not done everything possible, your conscience is clear. Why? Because you knew you did your very best. And even God will never ask a human being to do more than his best. He won't ask you. So that way, your conscience is clear. I worked for some people like that, and they said they don't like the work. Like, that gave some excuses. I said, I'm not feeling sorry, not even one bit. You know why? My conscience is clear on this issue. I know it's my very best that I put into it. So I didn't feel bad. I didn't feel sorry because I know what I did was right. Because they eventually came back to say, okay, they want it. Because all the reasons they gave were not tenable. It doesn't make sense. All you just need to do is see the work and you know, because you're asking for more than. You understand? So it will test you on every single thing. Whether it's patience, so whether it's kindness, so well, you know. Me, I don't talk to strangers. You are not 4 years old. You know, some of us, the courtesy of if you enter a place and people are there to greet them. You know, it's a project. But some of us are like that. I used to be like that too. But you must learn it. Once I entered the house like that, people were in front. I didn't greet them. By the time I got to where I was going, the office was locked. And I looked and there was nowhere else. I had to go back to those people. So when I got there, they were Yoruba people. They said, where we house flies before. That was so embarrassed. You know? So whether it's being kind, whatever at all, as long as it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit, it will test you in them all. That's why many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord will what? He will deliver him from them all. Okay? Now, as he conforms me to the image of Jesus, the person that does the work of conformity to the image of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? We are the subject that will be done upon. Okay? But the worker is actually the Holy Spirit. And you can either resist him all the way or allow him all the way. In fact, the amount of cuts you will have strictly depends on either your resistance or your submission or willingness. Do you understand? Sometimes, you know, let's say you are trying to hold somebody now. Maybe 2-3 people are trying to hold somebody down. And he's thrashing about. You know, he's in danger of endangering himself. He could hit head, hit, you know. So, spiritually speaking also, we enter into so many accidents that there's no need to enter into. Because we keep struggling with the Holy Spirit. Okay, we keep fighting when we're not supposed to fight. If we're not careful, it would say over us, this one is too stiff-necked. You could even become an Israel. That you have wrestled with God and you have prevailed. You would think it's a good thing. To wrestle with God. You will later find out that it's not a good thing. Okay? It's better to submit to God because he knows how many things. So everything. And his plan and purpose for you is for your own good and it's for your best. It's not that if you become what you want to become now, it's not that if you don't become what you are supposed to become, that then they will not tell God to resign since he has failed. No, he won't resign. It's God. You understand? The person who will lose is who? You understand now? And finally, he wants to rid me of corrupting and contaminating worldly influences. You used to listen to worldly music. I said, no, I don't listen to worldly music. Just the soundtrack. That's the way it sounds. I'm trying to study the sound. You know, there's a way they beat the beat. And before you know it, the beat starts beating your heart. And it keeps beating until you surrender. Okay. You know, God knows it's close to my work, so
we can marry them all together. I was ministering in a minister's conference once, and I was talking about how worldly ministers have become. And somebody amongst us that is full rank was Michael Jackson. I didn't comment. Is there a need to comment? He only verified that I was innocent. I will say the truth. He was so embarrassed. Everybody just looked and they looked. I know many of them too that have worldly ring to them. I'm sure they just secretly find a way to change it before it embarrasses them. Okay? So he wants to rid us of corrupting influences. Somebody was coming from Redemption Camp, a pastor. So in his car, he had to pick some members of his church. You know, sometimes when we are driving in a hurry, we don't put up the radio. Like if you're playing a CD or something. So as he just started, it was Wasil. There are some things you can't correct again. I don't know since when the Holy Spirit would have been warning him about what these songs. Sure you know. And what does he want to preach to those people? That they will hear. Because it was one of those church members that told me. I know the pastor, I know the church member, you understand? I was youth pastor in that church at the time. He might have been telling you that there are friends that you are keeping. Eh? That relationship does not glorify God. I'm not saying you are sleeping with anybody, you understand? They are just worldly people. But you are trying to be nice. Follow peace. My friend is somebody that has power to influence me. Is that not what friend means? So I don't befriend anybody who is not 100% focused on the Lord. Because you are someone that can easily dissuade me. Brother Shego, many times, have you not said, no, brother, let's do it this way and I'll follow you? Since I know I can easily be influenced like that, before you come to that point in my life, where when you say something, I'll say yes. I must have vetted you very, very well. And it's funny. Yes, he's my friend, but he's also my son. You understand? But yet, he's my friend. So he has ability to say, no. Why don't we do it this day? And I say, have you looked at it well? Have you looked at it well? Okay, we'll do it that way. Don't befriend people who will tell you that. Oh, God, go, Christian, I think they're going to be slow. If they want you to be fast, you will crash. So it's better not to listen to them. Amnon's friend, his cousin, who was his friend, can't remember his name now. He was the one that told him, Amnon was the firstborn of David. Eh? Jonadab, that's his name, Abby. He was the one that told him, when he said he was in love with his sister, Tamar, okay? He was the one that told him, what is there? Pretend as if you are sick. Have her come, then rape her. He was the one that said so. When he was struck dead, he was the one that reported the case. That it was because he raped her. He only kept back that it was his advice. I don't keep around me people who do not fear God. I don't do it. I don't. And if you will ever have any problem with me, it will be that you are breaking scripture. It won't be that, when you greeted me, you didn't mean well. No. What concerns me with that one? If you greet me, stand, they say, if you want to kneel, you used to embarrass me. I used to feel scandalized, you understand? And there was a way to just look at me somehow. No. If I have anything about you that will come head to head, it will be because scriptures have been broken and I'm standing my ground that no, I will not agree. That will be the only basis. And that should be your only basis, okay, for judging people or judging situations. Okay? It could be music, it could be food, it could be anything, it could be friends, it could be anything. But he will use different things to say no. Once something is worldly and doesn't fully please God, he will say no. You can't continue with this kind of thing. And you can either say, who is talking? Who are you? Didn't you look well? Holy Spirit, how many times have I called you? You could do that and warn him that he should, never in his life, he should not try that again. He will keep quiet.
What if you are not sure? How won't you be sure? If he speaks, there will be scriptures that confirm what he says. There will always be. And he himself said, test all spirits. So, Holy Spirit, this Michael Jackson song that you are saying, that I'm hearing something saying that I should not be singing again, or this fella song. If it is you, prove it. He will show you scriptures that Michael Jackson or fella were worldly people. And he doesn't want you to be worldly. You can even say again, like some people that I know, you say, okay, another confirmation scripture. A third confirmation scripture. Lord, I want more. You see, from the moment it is more than three scriptures, your heart is hardened. For by the witness of two or three, how many matters? All matters is what to establish. When you are getting to 12th scripture, 17, if you can't believe three, you won't believe 25. You won't. Do you understand? So that's how you know. You won't. If it's not chronic unbelief, what's somebody doing with 17 scripture? To prove one thing. Huh? Amen. Number what are we now? This is number four. Number five. Am I still constantly watching and waiting and hastening the coming of the Lord Jesus? Am I still constantly watching and waiting and hastening the coming of the Lord Jesus? That's another way to know. That is, am I constantly expectant that he may come at any time and thus live in such a way that he may find me in peace without spot and blameless? Amen. Am I constantly or am I still constantly watching? I think where with questions you start from is, you know, today, you know, after today you can now go back to, am I still, okay? Were you even ever watching? Do you understand? Or it only comes to you that, maybe there's a message like this, so that Jesus is coming. Yeah. I hope that if he comes, so that I'll be able to go with him. It shouldn't be something that you remember when messages come. It should be a lifestyle. If you are living expectantly, you will know. Honest, that's the truth. You will know. And if you're not living expectantly, you will know. So, am I still constantly watching and waiting? Now, watching is not waiting. Is he waiting? Is it the same? Is waiting hastening? No. There are three different things. So, let's start from watching. Am I still constantly watching? Am I watching my life? Am I watching things happening in the world, events in the world? Okay. Am I sure I'm still on the side of Jesus? Now, they have said James can marry John. The other day, some of them were trying to marry. They both wore suit. One wore trouser. The other man wore skirt. But they were suit on top. You know, they are just ridiculous people. So, they both agree that somebody should be female. Abi? And they have fundamental human rights. No problem. Sodom and Gomorrah too had fundamental human rights. They perished all the same anyway. And Amnesty International did not sue God when he burnt them alive. But what I noticed that normally happens is this. It will blind them first before the judgment will fall. Amen. What will it do first? It blinds them. They won't be able to see again. And you just need to see what's happening in Europe and in America, whether they can still see again. Because they can't see again.
So, all manner of evil now kept showing face. If you can allow James and John to marry, then James, John, and Jill can marry. Now, three people marry now. So, that's like, I'm marrying you. You are both marrying me. How can three people marry? I don't know how they would, whether you say I do. I don't understand. So it could be two women and one man, it could be two men and one woman, it could be three women or three men. I can't remember the English they call the name of that, because that one is not marriage again. They call it something. They found a name. I know they always find names for them. They found a name for the thing. I must keep watching. Another interesting thing to watch is events in Israel. Amen? Because that's like the key to prophecy. Jesus had said that when you see the abomination of the desolation standing in the holy place, he said, I know that your salvation is right near, but he that is on the field, don't go home or run. He was talking about the tribulation period when the Antichrist will enter into the Holy of Holies of the temple that will still be built in Israel, where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is now, on the Holy Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Watch events also happening in Israel. So that, because I see nations realigning just according to prophecy. That's what I see. In the end times, Russia will be on the side of the Arab nations. It is clear already with what's happening in Syria. They have huge bases in Syria, and everybody knows they are not willing to leave anytime soon. And all of those things have to be adjusted properly. So that just as Jesus said, things will happen. So you have to be watchful. They are no longer catching pastors fornicating. They are catching homosexual pastors now. Abi? So you have to be watchful. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That things that used to shock the church will not shock you anymore. Now, are you shocked that two men can marry? Are you shocked? You are not shocked. No. You've seen so many of them. You remember that one that we talked? Jesus. You know, when men see women, you know that natural shamefacedness with women that you look away and look down? That's how he was doing. I wanted to punch him. What is wrong with you? We met him on the staircase. On the balcony. If he was one containing this, he was one homosexual boy. This was before Nigeria outlawed homosexuality. You understand? And he saw us. Abu. What contact lens? You have to be watchful. Sin will abound, and the love of many will wax. For he that endures to the very end, that's the one that will be saved. You have to be watchful. They will say all manner of things. It wasn't a mistake that, you know, things like ISIS, Boko Haram rose. It wasn't a mistake. They were simply testing the waters. Because as the end draws closer, Satan will grow more desperate. You understand? And instead of being scared, terrorist attacks everywhere, kidnapping, ritual, this one, that one. It just simply tells you, I hope you know that there's a limit to the sin of man that the world can bear. I hope you know, before judgment falls. So, when you live at the edge of the apocalypse, or you live at the edge of judgment, you should know that what it simply means is what? My salvation is drawing very near. Because before
Satan now off his clothes and comes out naked. God will remove his own children from this world. Okay? The rapture will occur. Jesus gave us a promise in prophecy. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back again to take you to myself. So that where I am, there also you can be. You have to be watchful. When we are not watchful, we'll be so easily carried away with Father. Oh, NEPA didn't give us life. They brought crazy bill. PSP bill. Ah, they said that in the next street to our street, 9 children were kidnapped. And they beheaded them. They remember, yeah, I have children. Have you forgotten that 1,000 will fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left? It will not come near you. Those things must happen. They must happen. Why? Because the end is drawing so close. Do I have a date to tell you that Jesus will come? I don't have a date. He said that the day and the time knows no man. Even the angels in heaven don't know. Okay? So, I don't have any date or time to tell you. But the signs are all there. He said his coming will be like in the days of Noah. He said his coming will be like in the days of who again? Lot. We knew that in the days of Noah, people were busy with their businesses and all of that. Abby, we knew that there were strange or natural sex going on. Angels sleeping with human beings. Abby, just as in the days of Lot, man and man, woman and woman, all of those kind of evil were happening. You know, now people even change their... Very terrible things have happened though. A woman will remove her sexual organ and put a male one, but she will still maintain breast. Come on up. Very demonic. So somebody was asking me, can that kind of person be saved? I said, oh Lord, thou knowest. Me, I can't answer that kind of question. I don't know. There are lines you don't cross. There are lines that what? So that one will marry a man. Or she'll be sleeping with a woman. Ebola in here already. Only God knows. Like, can he be saved? Me. I don't know. Simple. Me, oh. I don't know. I don't know about that kind of thing. But I know that it's a perversion. I know that it has gone beyond, you know, the normal, the sane. Have you unbelievers know? Kilo share? Have you? Have you unbelievers know? How much more is it? That kind of thing I don't. So you have to be watchful. Things will keep happening. Things that 10 years ago will shock people, they will become a normal occurrence. You have to be watchful. Now, you have to be waiting. This is where the church failed. Since 1989, when they predicted that the world will end, and all the churches bought into that thing, Jesus is coming. And all the prostitutes left their hotels and came to church. Everybody ate their food in their house. I was 9 years old at the time. I knew the world won't end because I knew that Jesus said the time and the hour knows no man. So I was shocked that most of the people took it seriously. Of course, the world did not end that day. And the churches were so embarrassed, they stopped preaching that Jesus is coming. See, it was since that time that they started changing to our own faith. Our own is this. I was 9 years old. I wasn't so much of a child. Because in those days, the preaching of Jesus is coming was very strong. It was very heavy. They stopped though. Because they were embarrassed. And they started preaching all manner of other things. Your favor. Your breakthrough. Tell somebody my miracle is on the way. That was when they started it. And they continued in it until that has now become their doctrine. They are no longer waiting for his coming. And if you are not waiting for his coming, you can't be watchful. Amen? If you are not waiting for his coming, when he comes, will you know he has come? Since you are not waiting for anything. That was when it all began. My brother, are you waiting? There's a hymn song that says, watching and waiting,
Looking above. Yeah, that's it. It's blessed assurance. It's thinking in your head. Looking above. Watching and waiting. Looking above. There's another one that we are going to sing in this meeting. What's that one? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. And the day breaks, when the day breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the saved of earth shall gather to their home beyond the shores. When the road is called up yonder, I will be there. I plan. I will be there. You have to be waiting. He that made a promise to you is not a liar. Say, but he has said that we should be waiting, we should wait, we should wait. He said, Peter, where Peter was snoring. Can you not watch with me for 1 hour? If a day with God is like 1,000 years of man's time, how long will an hour be? Is that not like a lifetime of a man? Can't you wait 1 hour? If it won't end in rapture, it will end in death. Is it not so? Can't you wait all through? Must we keep doing revival? So you are fainted again. They must revive you. 2 years, once you are fainted. What kind of life is that? If you have a child like that, you know, like epilepsy. Uh-huh. Then after a while now. Then, so whenever you are watching, you are afraid that you don't know when next the thing will happen. So I will now form a song. Didele ni subu lola mi ufe. Kind of Christian life is that? A Christian life that can't be consistent. You must keep falling. You faint again, we pour water on you again. There's a 7 days revival. 7 pastors will come. Day one, day two. By day 7, child, you are woken again. Only for another 6 months, there must be revival again. No. It's simply because people are not waiting. If you are waiting, you don't need to be revived, for you will refuse to sleep. Simple. Brethren, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe is the way, I believe is the truth, I believe is the life. I believe he does not lie to people, I believe he doesn't deceive people. And I found out that when you see the eternal plan of God, you will wait. Amen. What will you do? You will wait. Because you see it's worth it. It's worth it. But if I'm watching, waiting, and I'm attempting to hasten, why? It will be because I have seen what I'm waiting for. Is it not so? It will be because I understand what will it be like. That will be why. In a world that is free of sin, in a world where I will no longer share the world with a suicide bomber that is strapping to our chest bombs and backing a baby. That's what the Boko Haram people are doing now in the north. What they are doing now. Brainwash those little girls that they have interrogated. They back babies. So a soldier cannot expect for a baby to bomb himself up. A world that will be holy. And there will be no evil of such again. A world where night will be like 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And day will be the brightness of 7 days put in one. And there's no heat. That's what I'm waiting for. That's why I'm going through all this. A world where Satan is confined forever to where he belongs. And those who want to serve him and follow him. I keep seeing it. So it doesn't matter what I have to pass through. It doesn't matter what I have to suffer. I just want to make it home. And I don't want to make it home such that. No. I don't want this help. No. When I enter, I want to experience a triumphant welcome. That the faithful warrior has returned. I want that. I don't want to enter unannounced. And they just say, let me just stay in the kitchen. No, I don't want to stay in the kitchen. God forbid. I was not made to stay in the kitchen. Why should I say, Kasha Wole, the matter is more serious than that. You think that you still will not be judged? That all the grace of God that was released freely to you, but you squandered, you think he won't ask you? God did not see you. You understand? So the matter is not that somebody snuck in. No. No. If I was saved by grace, if I'm kept by grace, I can be brought in by grace. I can live the holy life by grace. I can become all that I'm meant to be by grace. God wants us to believe for that. Not, so that you are saying, we enter, and we can't bribe an angel. Hey, how are we going to enter now? It's not that kind of thing. Jesus has died for all these things. He just wants us to believe. That's all. Believe that this is the truth. Behave like that so that you can become that. That's all. It's simple. It's not complicated. What about hastening the coming of the Lord? Am I doing my portion of the work such that as we all do our individual portions, do you understand? Jesus can now start saying, Father, is it time now? My people have done what they are supposed to do. Can I go? For I said, this gospel, that should be Matthew 24, verse 14. Let me check. Yes, it should either be verse 14 or verse 24. Please let me check. Matthew 24, 14. First. Said, for this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations as a witness to them. And then the end will come. So the end won't come until the genuine gospel is preached where? All over the world. Huh? It's 14, Abby. Thank you. Can you read it? Yes. Yes. That's when the end will come. When the true gospel has been preached all over the world. Because what has saturated everywhere now is not the truth. The bless me gospel. Sow seed gospel. That's not the truth. It's not. The kind of gospel that if Paul hears, he will be asking, who are they talking about? They say, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Paul will say, Jesus. Which one? He said, the one you believe. He said, no. That'll be the one I believe. He didn't say anything like this. That's what's everywhere. You see the way they beg money on TBN. It's a shame. It's a shame. Trinity Broadcasting Network. If you see the way pastors beg for money. My God, whether or you both, they are the same. In fact, those Oyibos, they are worse. They are worse than Nigerians. If you see where they beg for money. You know, I organize that. On the street, Jawala, she must say, well, number, do I already? They won't tell you there's number. You are seeing number already. Call now. So now. Enter into a 100 days covenant with the Lord. With just $100. Moshe my son. Moshe ain't going plane. Oh, I don't know. They don't fly train. Moshe ain't going plane. Long back go. Liars. I beg you by the mercy of God. I often say this. They asked, what's his name? Joel Osteen. Why don't you preach against hell? I don't like bothering people. That's what he said. You can watch the video. It's online. He and Larry King. When Larry King saw that he's not capable of understanding, the pastor should understand. He came down. He came down for him. Do you believe the Adam and Eve story? It happened in the garden. That was where it came down to pastor of America's largest church. So, you know, I don't know, Larry. I don't know. I just have this thing in my mind, you know, like things I don't know. That's why I pack them. You don't know about hell. And like he was asking him, I'm a Jew. Are you telling me that I'll be saved? Larry King was asking, will a Jew be saved because he's a Jew? No, if a Jew doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, he's going to hell. He said, I don't know, Larry. I don't know at all. How many other pastors don't preach against sin? Don't mention anything about the kingdom of God. This kind of message, you know, if somebody hears this constantly, except for me, Benny, it will change now. You are hearing constantly, you're like, let me settle with that sister in case it comes. You understand? As such, so you are able to live a proper life. So it's only someone that's dedicated to the devil saying, I'm good to hear, I'm good. That's the only person that will listen to this kind of thing constantly and will not change. The message is the gospel is a powerful message. If it is preached by those who are skillful, by those who are called and are skillful at their work. It's a powerful message. It changes lives. You don't need to tell anybody anything. How will I? Hasten is coming. I have to believe in his message. He's coming to renew all things. A world is coming. Or an age is coming, rather. Where every trace of sin and rebellion will be wiped out from all of God's creation. The gospel is an offer to be part of that. Amen. Is it not beautiful? It's not a religious offer. It's just simply destruction is coming. Oh, do you want to be saved? Simple. That's what it's about. And then it begins to point to us different things that are in that kingdom. Different things that we'll enjoy. We'll live forever. We'll never be sick again. No more pain. No more sorrow. Not only are we going to be part of that, we are going to be the rulers there. Co-inheritors with Jesus Christ. Kings and queens under our Father God. Same family, same lineage, same pedigree. What manner of love is this? Who will see that and will not want to say, you know what? What do I have to give to come and they say it's everything? Okay, I leave everything and I want to follow Jesus. But since we don't even know, they don't even talk about heaven anyway. So we wonder, we'll be singing harps, Abby. Then we'll be floating on the cloud like willy, Abby. So since you think that you'll just be ping and be floating and you say, jari. That's why. Because people don't know. And because it's not taught. You can download a book from our website for 200 naira. Unveiling the Coming Kingdom. If you don't have 200 naira, tell us, we'll give you free. Everything you need to know about the kingdom of God. What will happen? How will it be? When we are now in the kingdom, what will it look like? That's the Bible study. It's over 100 pages. Okay? It's all for 200 naira. If you don't have 200 naira, we will give you free of charge. So that before you think that, Antibereo, they are trying to slot in their book. You know, if you don't have 200, I will give you free of charge. Make sure you get it. Study it for your own soul to see whether these things are so or not. When I saw it, my desire for this world died. You can't hasten its coming if you don't know what you are hastening. How can you hasten it? Imagine a time when we will no longer need lamp. When NEPA is not necessary anymore. Can you imagine? Where everything has changed. Every form of change will happen. Every. It's like he's refashioning the world for his own. Removing every trace of sin. The very creation itself. Man's sin affected it. The very creation. So it tells you how powerful man is in the strategic plan of God. How important he is. Such that when he missed the way, several things went out of balance. When lion and lamb will sit together. When a bear, you know a bear now? And a goat. Their children will be playing together. And it's a little boy that will take stick. Oh, yeah, let us go. Let us go. Leading all of them. Where a child can sit by a snake's hole and he will not be hurt. Where darkness is banished forever. There will still be night and day, except that night will be like 12 o'clock in the afternoon. But in New Jerusalem, there's no night there. Hallelujah. It's everlasting day. for the supernatural glorified beings who live there don't need to rest because they are never tired. That's you and me I'm trying to describe. Let me see you. Let me see you there. That's what Jesus came to offer. And I'm ashamed to be alive in this generation where men who we should be ministering the same thing together. But I don't know whether it's that they don't understand it or they are just chosen to just be preaching nonsense. I don't know. Where before you find it, you have to look and search and search as you are going to on a mountain. But that's what Christ came to offer. And this is what Satan is hiding. Because he knows that this message is beautiful. Anybody that sees it, except he has mental case, he would desire, he would want it. Who doesn't want to live in a day and age where flood can't carry people away again? Do you understand? Who doesn't want to live in a day and age where you don't need to be locking your doors? Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want to raise children? The women won't be raising children anymore. It's true. When I've been glorified, there'll be no need. Sabia, what if I see all these beautiful sisters? Don't worry, you'll have been perfected. But natural men will still raise children. Wouldn't it be beautiful? The child is looking at you asking, my Lord, how old are you? And you're like, I'm 2.5 trillion years old. And you look like 30. The same nature, the same image of Jesus Christ forever. I'll be there. So I began to understand that this paltry 90 years was just a test. A test to prepare me for service then. Where I will be in the everlasting kingdom. Where I will serve. At what capacity. Since God will not give a man what he didn't earn. Hastening is coming. Hastening it. The final point there, number 6, is, since we are attempting to wrap up, am I constantly longing for home? Am I constantly what? Hebrews 11, verse 8 to 10, verse 13 to 16. Now, just like I was saying earlier, can somebody long for what he has not seen? Is it possible? A home you have not seen, can you long for it? Huh? Can't. In our Bible school that we just concluded, I was asking the students, close your eyes, see your house. So they closed as they saw their houses. I said, do you know why I can't tell you close your eyes, see the kingdom of God? I'm sure if I had said that, they would be thinking about all manner of things. Maybe some will see willy-willy, you know. They will just see clouds floating. Then all of them are just lying down somewhere. And they are, you know, everywhere just white and boring. Maybe that's what they will say. You can't long for a place you have not seen. You can't long for a home you do not know. Revelation 21, from verse 1 to the end, gives a clear picture of that city. What it will look like. How beautiful it is. John 14 from verse 1 to 4 tells us that Jesus told us he's going to build a place, and we know that that's where he's going to build, and that when he's ready he'll come back to take us to himself. Are you longing for home, or the only home you have ever known is this present world? If you have no hope beyond the grave, how Nigerian politicians are stealing money, it will be paining you. But if you have hope beyond the grave, you will know that Kosi Nkoton jetting one airport to the detriment of their souls. You will understand it. And when you hear that this one stole this one, instead of saying, if only I knew him, if you just gave me just $1 million out of it, like, what I would do. Instead of talking like that, you only pity him. Because he's poor. Amen. And as I'm attempting to wrap up, like I said, you know, instead of that desire that if only I came from a rich family, who can bless you? You, the son or the daughter of the Most High God, the possessor of the heavens and the earth, who can bless you? What can they give you? What do they have? And he's saying, you see all that riches? All the glory of this royalty, all the glory of my kingdom, I want to share it with you. Labor here. When you return home, I want to crown you. That's what we're promised. That's what he wants to do. And he's not a liar. And he has done it before. Amen. He has done it how? What did he dash it down? What did he dash it down? Gave him an entire planet, one man. So what are we talking about? So it's not what he hasn't done before. Tabania, hey, I wish you all that. Am I not taking a risk? If I say I'll go with him all the way, will I not? No, he's done it before. Gave one man the entire world. That's why I said that there's no rich man in this world. Not even Bill Gates owns America. Just one small portion of land in the whole world. Yet God freely gave Adam the entire planet. Show me a rich man who owns the world. Is there one? And I thought they said that there are rich people in this world. As we stand up to pray, I want us to talk to the Lord. I want us to begin by telling him, Lord, give me a vision of my eternal home. A vision doesn't necessarily mean that you see a normal vision. No. But there's an understanding that will just dawn upon your spirit of where you belong and what belongs to you. And because that's where you belong and because that's what belongs to you, you will live as a separated person. Even after I gave Abraham promises and blessed him in all things, Abraham was looking only for the city whose maker and builder is God. Can you imagine that? That's what he was looking for. Rich man, in all things, he left that one for his children. He said, me, there's something that has been promised to my soul. That's the one I'm looking for. A city built with transparent gold like glass. A city fenced with precious stones. Even the fence is precious stone. The gate is not the same type as the fence of precious stones, and they are all precious stones. The foundation of the fence are 12 other precious stones. They didn't even mention diamond. It was small. That one is just only on the breast of the high priest. I want you to pray, Lord, give me a vision. Give me a vision of my home. Give me a vision of what has been prepared for me. Help me know what I'm laboring for. Help me to understand what I'm laboring for. Grant me grace in Jesus' name. Grant me grace in the name of Jesus. Open my eyes of understanding. When you see there's nothing the devil has in this world that he can offer that is better than what is there. Give me a vision. Open my eyes of understanding. Cause me to see. Cause me to see. Let me see what I'm laboring for. Let me see what I'm laboring for. Help me to see, Father. As you are helping me to see, help me to pay the price. For no unclean thing will enter into that city. Help me to pay the price. Let that become my desire. Let that become my choice. Help me to be willing to go all the way with God. So that I can make it home. a place where mansions are being built, and it doesn't matter the number of people that are saved, there's enough mansion for each person. Enough for every single person. Imagine Washan Basin cut out of pure diamond. Amen. That's why they won't allow thieves to come in there. How can sell that to Luwole? That's what you'll be looking for. How can he remove his yoke and go and sell? That's what you'll be looking for. A holy city, tarred with gold. Walkways, springs of water, trees of life. And yet this city will come down to this world to be the capital city of the entire universe. And I'm not called to just come and be a citizen. I'm called that I should come and be part of the rulers. Help me in the name of Jesus. Let me not walk against myself. Let me not cooperate with the devil to destroy me. What you have written concerning me in love from eternity past, that is what I will become. And that's what I will achieve to the honor of your name and to the praise of your majesty. I will make it home. All the hindrances that hinders men from finishing well will not hinder me. For the vision of where I'm going will be so absolute that I will crush every opposition in the name of Jesus and arrive safely on the other shore. I will make it home. In the name of Jesus, I will make it home. I want us to pray. Lord, help me to constantly long for home as I labor for the reason for which I'm sent into this world. Help me not to walk in another man's tracks. Let me not pass my time in this world as a waste to you. Instead, either by my living or by my dying, let my life yield maximum profit for you. Lord, deaden my appetite to this world and the things of this world. Work in me daily as you enable me to constantly watch, pray, and hasten the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us tell him, Holy Spirit, my God, I want to stop struggling with you over who controls, leads, or guides me. I want to stop struggling. From this moment forward, help me as I submit my will willingly. Work in me daily as you enable me to constantly yield to your control, leadership, and guidance. Help me, precious Lord. Help me in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me make it home. Help my heart. Help my life. Help me know that what is at stake is my eternal destination and my eternal destiny. That's what's at stake. And since that is what is at stake, help me to pay the price, so that I will not end up a loser in the name of Jesus. I don't want to end up mocked by the devil. Instead, I want to be among those who will live in that eternal day, giving you glory, praising and worshiping you all the way. I want to be true. I want to be genuine. I want to be saved. I want to be a part of that final salvation when you come and you glorify your own. I want to be there. This is what I'm saved for. Help me, O Lord, prepare. Help me to be prepared, even while I live in this present world, so that your purpose for calling me can be achieved in my life. Teach me how to deal with cares of this world. Teach me how to deal with my fears. Help me to know men have lived in this same world before, and there were cares in their time too. Show me how you help them, so that I can be free to serve you and you alone. Jesus, on the day when you are counting your treasures, we will not be missing in Jesus' name. On the day when you return to take away your own, we will not be missing in Jesus' name. All that we need to qualify, by grace you will qualify us in Jesus' name. Help us not to be like Judas, whose ears had these things, and yet he still went into perdition. Let that not become our portion in Jesus' name. Help us, O Lord, since you have died for our sins, and you have died so that we can be delivered. Help us, O Lord, my God, that your sacrifice will not be in vain over our lives. Thank you, because you are faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please let's be seated. Take it, and then we'll go. If you have questions from this session that we have just taken, it will be questions about the kingdom of God as I was describing it, whatever at all, please, like I said, I don't want to forget that. Please make sure you get that book, Unveiling the Coming Kingdom, okay? Like I said, and that's why I'm saying it in the end of Brother Busayo, verse 50 to 54. They talk about, and John chapter 14, 1 to 4, they talk about the rapture. There are several other places that talk about the rapture, even from the words of Jesus, okay? Like this Luke 21 that we are studying on, okay? It's actually talking about the rapture of the church, okay, that it will catch the world suddenly. And that if you are not careful, if you are cumbered with all these worldly things and all of that, and all the worldly worries, it will catch you too by surprise. The difference is this. In the rapture of the church, Jesus comes to take away his church. In the second coming, he comes with his church. The purpose of the rapture is to make way for the tribulation and the Antichrist, and the end of this present time as we know it. Okay? The purpose of the second coming is to return, to reclaim what the devil stole, and to establish the millennial reign of Christ. That is, Jesus will be ruling over the world for 1,000 years physically. Okay? It's like the beginning of the end, but that's not the entire thing, because Satan would have just been imprisoned at the time. You can see that in Revelation chapter 20, from verse 1 to verse 4. You can even go up to verse 6. Okay, for the second coming. Okay, also Zechariah chapter 12, chapter 13. But chapter 14 talks about the battle when Jesus just first of all comes. Now, it's interesting because Jesus ascended to heaven from the Mount Olive. Do you remember? An angel said there in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, angel said, this same Jesus whom you see ascending, he will in the same manner. The Bible is deep. He will in the same manner return. Just as you see him ascending, he will descend. Okay? Now, if you read Zechariah chapter 14, around verse 3, verse 2 or verse 3, Jesus will return to that same Mount Olive that he ascended from. It's there. If you can open it, it's there. And when his feet touches that mountain, the mountain will split into two. Okay? Of course, it will be in the midst of battle and all that, because the Antichrist would have almost conquered Israel at that time, okay, particularly Jerusalem. Okay, their women would have been raped, all manner of things would have happened. The little people remaining. You see, because Israel will be saved. Romans chapter 11, from verse 1 to verse 3. All Israel will be saved, and they will be saved in one day. Zechariah also, chapter 14, chapter 13, the last verses, about the last four verses, and chapter 12 also in particular of Zechariah talks about all that. They will see him whom they have pierced. So they will find out that the Messiah that they rejected is actually the Messiah. And the Bible says in prophecy that they will weep. And somebody weeps for his lost son. Each house will weep by itself alone. Each individual in family will weep by itself alone. And because when their technology fails them, they will call that God should help them. Because the whole world, the whole armies of the whole world would have gathered against them to wipe them out. Okay? And their technology will fail them. You know, they are one of the most powerful countries in the world now, military. Their military will fail them. It's at that point that Jesus will return with the saints. Okay? So Israel, the nation of Israel, you remember, if he comes now, there will be human beings on the earth. Is it not so? But he will kill all their armies. Revelation, Zechariah 14 talks about all of that. He said their eyes will rot in their socket where they are standing. Their tongues will rot in their mouths. He said, I don't know whether it's biological warfare or something. I don't know. But that's what's going to happen. They will kill them by the means of that. They will turn their guns on themselves. They will wipe off themselves. All the armies of the world together. In fact, I think, I don't know, that's how much said for me, whether it's Zechariah 12, verse 1, or 13, verse 1, that says that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone. And all the nations that gathers around it, they will be hot when they attempt to carry it. Please let me check whether it's chapter 12 or chapter 13 of the book of Zechariah. Okay, so all of that is the second coming. The rapture is a silent, quiet event. Even when the trumpet sounds, the world will not hear any trumpet. It's only the Christian that we have. Okay? But when he comes, he said, every eye will see me. Most Bible scholars in those ancient times used to wonder, how will every eye in the whole world see him? What will happen? How will it be? But you see, God is God. Now, we just a phone. Can't you watch internet TV? Can't you watch live video streams online? So as he appears there, the whole world will see him. Ode, Ologunde. Of course, if you wipe up the whole world and you came with an army of saints and angels, a numberless army, who now controls the world? You, the only person that has an army now. It's always like that. Daniel chapter 2 also talks about that, the last two verses. Okay? That that mighty stone breaks the foot of that giant thing or image or statue. Okay? And it itself becomes a mighty stone to stand alone upon the earth. Daniel 7 from verse 18, verse 21, verse 27 talks about the fact that the kingdoms of all the world will be given to the saints of the Most High God. And their kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Their dominion they will not give to another nation, but it will reign and exist. If you destroy that kingdom, it will reign and exist forever and ever and ever. And that is the kingdom of God. It will be set up upon the earth, upon this planet. And within its coming will cause so many changes. Topographical, luminary. Topography talks about ground. All the places that were mountains before will become valley. Jerusalem itself will now be exalted as a mountain. Remember that scripture that pastors used to quote a lot? And then that day, the mountain of Lord's house shall be established, seeing nations flowing into it now. It was actually talking about the second coming. In reality, that's what it's talking about. The whole world will flow into it. Then Matthew 25 talks about the judgment of the nations. When he said that when the Son of Man comes and he sits upon the throne of his glory, he will call up all the people of the world. And he will divide them as goats and as sheep. And the basis of their judgment will be how they treated Israel during the tribulation.
Praise.
Hallelujah.
Actually, it's different from this, but it's still related.
It's okay.
These people that used to say they came back from heaven and dead, they died and came back and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know, is it biblical? Because in the Bible, God told the rich man that let those that are on the heads talk to themselves or something like that, that he can't go back to talk to his people. So I want to ask if it's biblical.
Thank you, very good question. My sister, for a people who don't preach about heaven, they need people to come back from heaven so that they can be afraid constantly. Do you understand? Whether it's biblical or not is not the issue. Do you understand? What I have found out is this. I've never had to change my message. Do you understand? It might be true that maybe, but it's not that they went to heaven. It will simply be that they were in a trance. Are you getting it now? Because it will break scripture. Because they said that send them back to the earth. Abi, and Abraham said to Lazarus, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. Okay? Now, but if nobody is seeing it, somebody can see a vision now. Is it not possible? And God will be saying, all of you, as you are doing, who remembered Pastor Adeboye's message? Or is it message? Or the thing he said about Zileki 98? That he saw an angel that was asking him, how many people came for Lekki 98? He said 3 million. The angel said no. It was 5 million people. Said if Jesus had come that night, how many people are going? He said, I thought that we had almost about 10,000 pastors there that day. Let people say at least 10,000. The angel said no, 300. You understand? So it's clear. What gave room to such vision and sensational vision seeing is because the church is not preaching anything close to it. And because message of judgment and things that are sober like this makes people to really settle down and think. Eh? Some people that want to make fast money, there was one of them that did 7 days vigil or something like that. One man was just saying one manner of unbiblical things. He said he died. One woman that took her husband's money to buy food to cook for him, that it is called stealing, so she goes to hell. But saying all manner of things that are just off the point. All the people that died, they lined up together and they chose this one, they go to hell. This one, they go to hell. It's not true. Those who die in sin goes down into the ground underneath the earth where hell is. Those who die in the Lord, those who sleep in the Lord, because we don't die, amen, they rise and go to paradise to wait in heaven. That's what scriptures say. Any vision anybody sees that contradicts the Bible, I have no interest in it. Okay? It can't be true. But if they say, when I passed on, or maybe I was in a whatever state, and I saw myself somewhere, and they said this and that, and it's consistent with the Bible, I have no problem. Anybody can see vision. We can't have enough warnings. Can we have enough warnings? We can't have enough warnings. Okay? So, but the moment they start selling tapes and doing those things, we know why they are going to heaven. It's simply to make money. You understand that? That's the way I want to simply put it. Okay? Is there any other question before we close? Okay, brother Tony, please, who else has a question so that we can know how many people are left? We can use our time well. Okay, it seems it's the last person. Yes. If you have a question now, you write it down tomorrow when we come. Okay.
Can we not be that we are the one doing the work instead of we just having faith and depending on God to do it?
Okay. Will having faith help you read your Bible?
No.
Will having faith help you to pray the prayers you should pray? Instead of you praying, say, I have faith.
No.
Will having faith, let me just hold on by faith. Will it make you to obey the Bible?
No.
When you obey the Bible, that's when you have faith.
Okay.
Do you understand?
We're doing it. Even when we feel somehow, just
feel somehow how?
Okay, for instance now. At times we just feel somehow we tired.
Okay. It's true now.
At times I feel somehow tired. I feel like praying as well. So,
and if you feel tired and you want to pray, what's wrong with lying down where you are and praying? You see that you are the religious person now. Maybe this is how you pray normally. And you are tired. You can't do that now. You can't sit down and still pray. Is it not your heart talking to God? Is that not prayer? Isn't that prayer? And if you are, there are times that you are in God's presence, you are asleep. When you can't see Baba Jimmy. God is easy to work with. It's not the religious. He's not holding one stick. You are sleeping. You are talking to me, you sleep. It's your father. Okay? The Bible says, as a father pitieth his son that serveth him. Huh?
So doth the Lord pities us. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Do you understand?
Yes,
don't paint God in this picture of somebody always holding a cane looking for your fault. No. That's not God.
And the second one is that I read in the scripture that Jesus said that I'm trying to recollect. He said that strive that ye may enter in at the straight gate.
Yes.
For many will strive.
Then they won't enter. Yes.
But how come?
How come?
Yes. They are trying to.
They are trying to. They are trying to when it's too late. So how would they enter? When the door is shut, that's when they want to try. He's given an entire lifetime. He keeps sending servants of God, repent, repent. Say, when I'm about to die, I'll repent. Then he dies suddenly, when he didn't plan. He's now knocking, saying, Jesus, you forgive him at that time. So the forward, God will show himself forward. You don't understand. Forward means the person that thinks is smart. God will say, you are not smart, I'm smarter. You understand?
Okay.
Many will try to enter when it is too late. That's what it's saying. So they will try to find it, but they will not find it. Because they didn't even receive it first of all by faith. You understand? That's it. They will not enter. Because they don't deserve it. And why is it that they don't deserve it? You may wonder. They don't think that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is enough for them. They have no faith in it. They don't believe in it. And now when they are now desperate, maybe they are now dead, or they are now about to die. Do you know that there are people that went home when they are about to die? They won't even know the prayer to pray to be saved. I've seen it before. They won't even know what prayer to pray so that they'll be saved. Because they think they are smart. You didn't serve him in life. You went to enjoy what he died for in death or after death. Think that Jesus is playing games with them, particularly Nigerians, out of all the Christians, Nigerians, because they bring that 419 sense, thinking that it will save them. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. I pray for you. As your heart is sober this evening, may this be the state of your heart continually. In the name of Jesus, may you not be overly excited. Such that you will fall from your steadfastness in the name of Jesus. May the Lord help you. May the Lord be jealous over your soul to the intent that he will tell himself, you, I will not let you go in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' name we are praying.
Having listened to the undiluted word of God, we implore you to respond to this message prayerfully. Remember, it is what you do with what you hear that brings about transformation. For further inquiries or counsel or for more information on our discipleship labors, please contact us on
080-334-8058, 080-813-8536, 080-7455-8177,
081-4099-1321, or visit our blogspot at www.reformationplatform.com.
When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that matters. Did I do my best to live for truth? Did I live my life?